Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news.
Welcome to an extra special bonus episode of Bravo Happy Hour. Today I'm here with Below Deck's newest Spitfire, Riley Gerber. Riley is a deckhand on the sixth season of Below Deck. If you're not familiar with Below Deck, one, you're crazy, but two, it's a show all about the crew and guests on mega yachts sailing the world. Each episode features a different group of passengers, ranging from millionaires to hard-partying friends, as they head out for a marine adventure. It's basically the reality TV version of Downton Abbey, and if you ask me, it's a way more captivating show. Welcome, Riley.
Hi, well, thank you for having me.
Of course. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Me too. I'm happy to be a part of this.
Yay. Well, everybody's been talking about Below Deck this season. I mean, it's kind of exploding.
We have a lot of drama, that's for sure. I feel like I'm an avid fan of Below Deck prior to even being on the show myself, and I feel like we do have quite a bit more drama than I've ever seen.
Totally. I mean, this season has been, you know, ridiculously popular, and last week's episode, which came out on December 11th, was actually the highest rated episode with a whopping 2.1 million live viewers, which is the highest it's ever been on the show. And during that time slot, it was actually the number one show on network cable. So, I mean, I think it's a testament to, like, the show that you guys are creating, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing. I heard the numbers myself, and I couldn't believe it. It's so crazy to think that I'm a part of that, and I mean, I couldn't be more excited.
So how have you kind of been acclimating to this, like, fame or maybe notoriety or press that's kind of been happening since the show?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Somebody asked me that once before and said, what's changed? And, like, all I could say is that I had new fans, and then I had a shit ton more haters. So, like, Other than having to acclimate to, like, more haters, which is really not, like, a big deal for me, that's really been it. Like, I get recognized a lot, and, you know, first thing is, you know, they ask if it's me, and then they ask me for pictures, and my first question is usually, you know, well, are you Team Riley?
Yeah.
So, but it's been fun. I mean, I don't expect everybody to be Team Riley, so, you know, I love the fame. I think it's something we all signed up for, and I don't know that it's really all hit me yet, but I'm definitely enjoying it.
Totally. I totally feel that. So you kind of came onto the show representing Alaska, but now you live in Florida.
Well, yeah, I've always kind of been back and forth. I'm from Alaska originally, and I lived there up until about high school, and then was back and forth. So because my summers, I work up there, you know, hands down, that season is May through September. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like right now I actually just left Hawaii and came to Key West for a fishing gig. So I'm currently in Florida. Yeah.
So nice. Okay. Also, random question. As I was prepping this episode, are female fishermen's called fishermen's or fisherwomen? I Googled it and the internet was like, shut up. Like,
it's so funny. Like, it's so funny to hear them talk to me about it because they do stumble on that word. And I don't care if someone calls me fisherman. It rolls off the tongue easier. I am a fisherman. Like, I'm really not, like, a feminist, I guess you would say. I don't think, well, this is probably later on that you might bring it up or something, but I don't, like, pull the women card ever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, I would say, like, I'm very, very comfortable, and I usually correct people and just say, you know, fisherman is fine. So that's my preference.
Good to know. Okay. So were the dynamics on the boats that you were on in Alaska a little different than the boat that you were on Below Deck?
Oh yeah, like totally different. I think that was plain to see from like every episode.
I mean, yeah, fishing boat to like a mega yacht. It might be a little bit of a change. Had you ever worked on a mega yacht prior to this, or you were kind of strictly on fishing boats?
Yeah, no, I've never worked on a mega yacht. I mean, I know I'm not, you know, I'm not some, I guess as Captain Lee called it, some backwoods tugboat captain. I mean, I know about finesse and like five star and all that kind of stuff, but like my work revolved around, you know, the more rough around the edges type deal. So yeah, fishing boats, you know, it's especially in Alaska, where it's a little bit more hardcore and a little bit more, I guess you would say, I mean, rough. I mean, it's rough.
Yeah. I mean, I like can barely like touch shrimp out of like the case at the supermarket, like let alone like touch big fish and like, ooh, I don't know.
No, it's funny. It's two different worlds completely. My whole experience I wanted to gain from it was a new experience, like working on a yacht. So I didn't come on there expressing that I knew everything. You know, they fans of the show are constantly saying, like, I said, I'm a boat captain, like, every 5 minutes, which is not true. But I didn't come on there saying, like, I know everything. I literally expressed to Ross and Ashton and Chandler, like, you know, this is my first time here. Show me the ropes.
So you mentioned that you had been watching Below Deck prior to coming on the show. So how did you kind of get involved? Can you walk us through the casting process?
So social media is obviously like a really great asset to have at your hand. And I think I was following like one of the casting directors in my off season. If I get like stagnant and I'm not doing anything, I get really easily depressed. I think I was just like watching, like catching up on all my Netflix and was watching Below Deck. And I thought like, why not try it and see? And it was so crazy to me to think that like I would ever, you know, get a call back. I started to follow the casting director and I was like, you know, I'd love to like apply for the show, and they're like, go online. And so
I did you slide into his DMs?
I slid into the DMs.
Yeah. I love that.
That makes me a creeper.
That is so funny.
Yeah, no, I did, but I went online and I filled out an application and they called me back. And at that time, that particular year, it was like in 2016, they actually Skyped called me and interviewed me. And I think one of the questions that like deterred them from bringing me on that season was, you know, was I in a relationship, which I was at the time. Mm-hmm. And when I think later on that, so that was like November or something. And later on that year, I ended up going to Cabo. I had a bunch of, you know, fun pictures with a girls trip I planned for a marlin fishing trip. Yeah. And so they called me or they asked me if I was still interested. And I said, hell yeah. And that I was no longer engaged. And they were like, right on. So it kind of went from there, which, you know, honestly, in my opinion, I think it's great because I think they would have cast me for that season with, you know, in the Caribbean with Jen on there. Yeah. And that was such a boring season. So I'm so glad like it didn't work out then.
Because I see like, you know, definitely like Rocky's season was super, super memorable.
Yeah.
And honestly, I kind of don't remember the rest. Like, I wish any of them had, like, this type of level of drama. Like, this one everybody I know is talking about. Like, we can't stop talking about it.
It's a lot. Like, there's so many great personalities for the show that it's just, like, and all this shit just happens. And it's so funny because it, like, works. I don't think, like, I don't even know that the producers were expecting there to be this much drama.
I mean, it's lightning in a bottle, obviously, the stuff with Ashton, the stuff with Caroline, you know, you and Ross and Chandler, like, it just, it was really, and obviously just Captain Lee tying it all together, like,
oh yeah,
it's just, it's too good. So how was actually working under Captain Lee? He kind of seems like a hard ass, in the best way possible.
I mean, like, obviously, I want to come back, so I'm going to, like...
Right? You're like, he was the best boss. I learned so much.
Yeah. You know, I honestly really didn't get to engage too much with him. So that's why I really don't have a good opinion about him.
Yeah.
But I will say that my opinion about him and his like blogs with each episode are a little like disheartening, because I feel like he really wasn't like, he's there, but he's not there in all the situations. And he gives us recaps of his opinion on it, which, you know, a lot of the fans of the show like hold, you know, true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, in my opinion, I feel like he's looking at it from another viewer's standpoint, which is, again, not in the know. And he doesn't really give me a lot of credit. He, you know, he basically condemns me for my mouthiness, which, you know, I get it. They're all, everybody's like, rank. Well, first and foremost, to me, I don't give a fuck who you are. If you're going to treat me with disrespect, I'm going to not show you any. And it's, they, all the guys set the tone for that with me. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, he's my superior, let me bow down to him. No, I'll respect your position. I'll listen to you. I'll do as I'm told. I'll try to confirm. I'll do all that. And I think that all got caught up and mixed up because of the tone that was set from the get-go. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, being a woman in, you know, any male-dominated industry is difficult. But obviously in such a, you know, tight-quartered area where you guys are really physically working together, I can imagine that just being, you know, kind of amplified. And obviously, Chandler, who was the original bosun on the charter, was definitely not up for the gig, I don't think. And I don't think he was ready for a woman, first and foremost, as a deckhand. And then a woman with an opinion. Like, that.
Did I have an opinion?
not even having an opinion. Having a voice, just in general.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. I honestly feel like Chandler, and I said this from the get-go, like, I feel like he had quite a bit of knowledge about working on a yacht. Like, I didn't not appreciate that about him. It was nothing about his knowledge, it was everything about how he treated me, which was absolutely 100% differently than the rest. And absolutely, I don't think that's me like putting my head down and being a third deckhand. That was just him being a shit, you know, fucking boss to me. So I don't take a lot of shit, and I usually am pretty reactionary. So yeah, we clashed quite a bit.
So when you initially met him, did you kind of foresee any issues happening, or was the beginning kind of fine and then his true self came out?
No, I totally thought that, like, going into it, you know, I knew I'd work my ass off, because I always do. Like, I, you know, there's no reason to go do a job and not give it your all. You know, totally. There's no half-assing it. And so I did not foresee any issues, but it became very clear from the get-go that he just was not appreciative of me talking at all, no matter what it was. So yeah, I mean, that really rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm not, you know, a meek or meager kind of girl. I, you know, I'm pretty boisterous.
And that's a good thing. We need more of that, especially on reality TV.
I'm probably not going to change no matter what the fans say.
You should never. So were you surprised that he was fired? Because his little sulky walk down to tell everyone he was leaving, like, it was so undramatic. Like, a part of me felt like he was like, thank God I got fired. Like, this was a lot of work, and I really just want to eat ice cream and sleep.
You know what's so funny to me is that when he told us, when he called us down and told us, he presented it like he and we came to this agreement together.
Yeah, well, that's no surprise.
Yeah, I was like, wait, did, like, Chandler just resign, or was he fired? I was so confused on that for the longest time. I was like, what really went down? Because, you know, there was a lot of shit that, like, I didn't think Chandler was very good at. But in my mind, I was like, fuck, you know, I never once did I go to captain and complain. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, okay, he's probably hearing all this shit from all these guys that are all broed up. And, you know, they're not a fan of me. So I was like, you know, I was kind of surprised that Chandler was fired, because I had no idea that, you know, the shit that was coming down on Chandler really was taking place. I was working a lot and not involved in a lot of quote unquote deck meetings. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, it was shocking to me, but I definitely was very happy to see him go.
And I think Ross ended up taking a really good leadership role. You know, it kind of, he seemed like he, you know, had a strong hand. However, you know, he was willing to, like, be nice and not necessarily talk down to you as much. Obviously, you two had your own little spat on the boat.
Yeah, we still have issues. Ross, I think, was the perfect man for the job. I mean, that, you know, with what we had as crew, Ross, it was bosun material, you know, and I do think that Ross's main goal was try to work together copacetically, you know, and that was something that, you know, Ashton, Ross and myself, while Chandler was still there, we all would talk about how there really was lack of communication on Chandler's part and no, and there was no organization and there was no, you know, we didn't know what we were doing from day to day, which you can't say shit's the same. Nothing's the same. It's like set, you know, set some goals out for the day or set, you know, a plan out for the day and let us kind of have some idea that's going on. So Ross, his attempt at doing that was so much more smooth and better received. And I mean, I will say that, you know, we do have our differences on the show still. And that for me is still, it weighed heavily on me because of communication still. Ross, I don't know what they're going to show, but Ross would sometimes say something and it's clear on the episode with Ashton going overboard, he would say something to me and he would mean something completely different. And so that to me was like, I am trying to take them literally. And that was where I had a lot of conflict with Ross was, he never said what he meant.
Sounds like a classic man.
Right? Isn't that freaking... It's like I never fucking learned that about men.
But do you think, you know, after watching these scenes of yourself that, you know, probably weren't the easiest to watch, do you think you kind of learned something that you can take to future jobs, future charters?
I definitely am not trying to place blame on anyone but myself. I 100% have admitted the fact that I know I'm very reactionary. I do have a temper that can get the better of me. And for sure, like I 100% know that it, you know, had I voiced my concerns in a different manner, it would have been better received, hopefully, or come across better. Do I think that would have been better for the show? No.
Do you think the ratings would be this goddamn high if that were the reaction?
I don't think that I would be talked about as much.
Totally. I mean, but then you also think if you were a man, a male deckhand, and you were having this conversation with whether it be Chandler or Ross, you know, they wouldn't have been so butthurt about having another man speak to them like that, you know?
I do think that it was, they want to say now that, oh, it's because I was a third deckhand, but we'll see later on in the show too. Like, here comes our new third deckhand, and like the previews just showed, I mean, they're putting him on duties that I had requested to do and was denied. So it's like, it's, you know, I don't think that it is, you know, they wanted me to know my role. It was literally, they had an issue with me coming on there and wanting to assert myself in more positions.
I think something that shocked all viewers was the fact that Chandler chose to bring Ashton on the fishing trip.
Oh, he's a fucking idiot.
I mean, okay, first and foremost, I don't know anything about fishing. As I mentioned earlier, I'm afraid of fish. But, like, they were driving that boat so quickly, and the guests just had, like, the pole, like, in the air. I'm like,
oh my gosh,
is that fishing?
Okay, so, like,
explain it.
I wasn't on the boat, so I don't know at what speed they were trolling, but that is high-speed trolling, probably at the highest, which there are species of fish that you can high-speed troll for. Like, wahoo is a high-speed trolling fish. Like, you go probably, like, 10 to 12 knots sometimes. I think they were probably doing a little bit more than that. And to troll that fast with a trolling rod in that little guest girl's hand is so stupid, because once that fish bites, if it does bite, she's going to lose the rod or she's going to go overboard with it. So no, I think he was pretty ridiculous in that. And he also, you know, was trying to like troll in really deep water for a topwater species like mahi or something like that. And he, you know, I don't think he knew what the fuck he was doing.
I mean, he clearly did it. And I loved like the little smirk you had in your testimonial where you're like, they didn't catch anything.
Right, I know. I was like, you have no idea how hopeful I was that they did not catch.
Oh my God. Chandler was such a loser. I could see him being like, let's stop off at the fish market, bring back fish and tell them we caught it. Like, wouldn't that be so fun, guys?
Yeah, that would be Chandler. That would be him.
So obviously, you know, I think the apex of the season, which was the episode that happened last week, was the scene where Ashton fell off the boat.
Yeah.
Obviously, you were very much a part of that and made the, you know, really heroic call to Captain Lee saying that someone was overboard. How do you kind of, like, how did you maintain your cool in that? Because the guests were watching, obviously cameras, he's in the water, like,
yeah,
a lot going on.
I mean, and trust me, like, you know, when that happened, we were still on charter, so I really didn't have time to, like, sit and think about it until after charter. But at that moment, like, I've done so many man overboard drills, and every single one of those drills never included a man in a death grip of, you know, it just was a man that fell overboard. You know, it was nothing like the man's attached to this line that's cinching down on him and drowning him, essentially. It was nothing like that. So that particular situation for me was something I'd never experienced before. And at that time, you know, it sounds so stupid and so little in comparison to, like, what was going on. But a quick thought that flashed through me was like, okay, the guests are right there, right above me. Like, do not freak out, because then they'll freak out. You know, you always want to be calm in a situation like that, because
totally,
they're going to look to you for guidance. And the biggest regret I have is not thinking quickly enough to be like, okay, he's attached to this line, let me get that line off. My first thought was like, cut the line. But in a situation like that, where there's tension on lines, if you cut a line like that, you're creating as much danger as he's in, because that line can snap back and hit you and take you out. Like, I mean, there are so many instances that you can see that happening. And it's actually, you know, gone over and drilled over in certain, you know, captain's courses, where that's the one thing you don't do is cut a line. But I was doing everything I thought I knew to do, which was by the book, you know, call man overboard and grab a life ring and get someone to point and look for his body in the water so you don't lose him. And it was just, everything happened so quickly that I didn't think about, well, why the fuck would he need a life ring? Like, he is attached to the boat. We know where he's at, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it was so mechanical that it didn't apply to the situation. And I wish to God there was something different I could do, but I thank God that Brent was there, because he was the cameraman who thought so quickly to, you know, get that line while it was still slack enough off of the cleat. And I mean, if not, like, Ashton very seriously could have drowned.
I mean, the whole situation was crazy, and obviously they'd been, like, leading up to it on all of the promos, so everybody was kind of, like, waiting to see what happened. But can you explain what everyone meant when, so he obviously is fine, and then he gets on the tender, and I read somewhere he had to drive on this tender for like 30 minutes. Like, does that mean he had to drive the boat after all of this alone?
Yeah, it was even so much longer than that.
Oh my God.
So this happened like right as we were leaving the port. So from there, it's about an hour to 2 hours to our anchorage. And so when Ashton did that, and it was insane, because I was also watching the tender and watching Ashton, and the tender was headed straight for this beach. You know, it wasn't in gear or anything like that, but the current was taking it straight to this beach, which was full of tourists or locals. Oof. Like swimming. And it was, I mean, so close to even hitting one of them. So What happens is, you know, Ashton, you know, he does, the line is loose, and now there's no tension on him, and he does have to swim to the tender to go stop that incident from happening. And so, and in the, I think the, all the radio clatter, you know, Captain Lee was very.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Very angry because he wasn't getting answers from anybody as to what was happening, because we all were answering like at the same time. And if you like click mics, you know, somebody clicks their mic, like it drowns out the other person. So it was kind of like everybody was doing it all at the same time to try to give him feedback. And so Captain Lee was getting angry. Ashton is like newly, freshly, you know, coming off this life or death situation. And then to jump in this tender, he was kind of in a state of shock from what I remember him talking about. You know, he couldn't even remember how to turn that tender on, you know, to get the gear going. And it was a simple matter of like, you know, turning the batteries on and the kill switch and things like that. But that's kind of a frame of reference to tell you where his mind was at. He was in no state, in my opinion, to drive that, but we couldn't do anything about that. The tender had to come with us, and he was in the water, and we couldn't stop where we were because we were right in the channel where, you know, you got traffic coming in and out. And that's a big boat, you know, we can't anchor there. So he ended up driving it all the way back. And I mean, like, I don't even know what we would have done had he been more hurt with that. You know, I don't know what we would have done in that situation. But, you know, luckily he drove it very well and made it, and then was able to rest his ankle.
And he lives to tell the tale.
Right?
Yeah, that was just wild. Like, and even Captain Lee getting emotional, like, that, you know, threw me for a loop where he's like, I've been doing this for 35 years and I've never seen anything like this. So, you know, yeah. I think for obviously viewers who, like, you know, none of us, I doubt many of the viewers are, you know, going on mega yachts. But, yeah. You know, to have seen anything like that would be just insane. But you know, thank
totally
God he's
odd.
Okay.
I mean, I'll say this, like, before that, I'd never had an actual man overboard. And then this summer after Tahiti, when I went to Alaska, I had 3 men overboard. But those weren't even, like, life or death situations like this. Just like Captain Lee, like, I have never experienced anything like that before.
Wow. Whew. Yeah. Heavy.
Yeah. I think it hit us all. You know, it hit Ross right away. I mean, mm-hmm. We all saw, you know, he was, like, tore up about it, and I was going about the motions, and it wasn't until the end of that charter that we really got to, like, that I really got to come to terms with what happened.
So yeah, Chandler's gone, we need to get a new deckhand. Captain Lee hires Tyler. What are your thoughts on him? Are there sparks flying? I felt something.
You know, it is so funny because, I mean, you know, partly I can't, like, I don't know every motion that was coming into play with me, because it was all like in the moment, you know. But like, I did ask Kate that if it was a hot guy and he seemed chill, like, please put him in my room, whether it was interior or exterior, like, just give me the hot guy so that I can, like, I mean, I don't know, I need something nice to look forward to, you know.
I feel
I'm
that
shit from all ends of the stick. So yeah, Tyler. He's good to look at, and he definitely is chill. So he brought a really good, nice vibe to the boat that I think we all needed.
Good. I'm excited to kind of see some levity because Chandler was such a wet blanket, and
yeah,
he was no fun. But I mean, hey, that kiss with Ross was a little.
Well, I thought this is good because I want to clear something up.
Clear the air, please. You have heard it here first, people.
Yes, actually, because I haven't talked about it yet. So the funny thing is, in a previous episode, there's an instance where we're all leaving the club and it's just me and Ross in the van. And I don't know if you recall that one, but it was a couple episodes prior.
Mm-hmm.
And in that van ride, Ross had his head on my lap. And like up until then, you know, super friendly, nothing, you know, nothing was going on, like romantic. And then he pulls my head down and And I thought he was going to whisper something, which I didn't know why he was going to whisper, but, you know, we were all drinking, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he kissed me, and I wasn't ready for that, and I didn't know what the fuck was happening. And then they didn't even show that. So it's so funny because then they show Ross coming into my cabin and kissing me there. And, you know, he pushes me behind the door thinking that that's going to hide us from the cameras. And I told him, I was like, you're being an idiot because we cannot hide here. It's so funny. Like, I'm not going to, I didn't want to do anything with him like that. I mean, I think he's a great guy. I think he's a good looking guy. Like he doesn't give himself credit for his looks because of course he had Ashton like flexing every 2 seconds. But he like he is such an overall like good guy that it was attractive. But he was dealing with his baby mama stuff. And I certainly didn't want to be a part of any of that would, you know, hinder or cause problems with that. So I actually, when he pushes me behind the door, like, I tell him, like, don't be stupid. You know, this isn't going to happen. And then they don't show that either. So it's so funny because I think a lot of people assume that more happened than just that. But it didn't. It was just, you know, a little tiny quick makeout session. And that was it.
Are there places on the boat that you can kind of sneak off with, like, a guy and not be seen?
I tried to find him. I think there was one spot, which is down in the Laz. So there's a little, like, electrical room where there's a washer and dryer. And I used to do, like, all the deckhand clothes. And I used to do all the deck towels. And we stored all the snorkel gear back there. And there's no cameras in there, but there's no room.
I mean, hey, you can always make room.
I mean, that's what one of our crew members suggested to me. I won't mention any names, but it's
interesting.
I won't mention any names, but it's Kate. but no, like it would have been totally uncomfortable, like mechanical and all the tech shit was down there. It just wouldn't have been. I mean, you could make it work, but I think that was probably the only spot on the boat that had no cameras.
Well, speaking of Kate, I think we're going to move into the cabin crew question section.
Okay.
So, obviously, you shared a bunk in the beginning with Caroline.
Yeah.
It's hard to talk about.
I know. I don't want to be offensive to her.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but here we are doing it.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, yeah, go ahead. I'll be honest.
Did you kind of hear inklings about her wanting to get off the boat prior to her quitting in front of everybody?
I mean, Caroline did complain a lot about Kate and Josiah and to me because we were roommates. But like, I mean, we all talk behind everybody's back, you know, and I complained to her about Chandler, which was funny to me because it seemed like her and Chandler were connecting.
Yeah, kind of got that vibe.
Yeah, and they were, you know, they were. I'm completely, like, I was blown away that she quit because I didn't see that coming. She never even said goodbye to me. I missed all the drama that didn't involve me. So I was shocked that she had quit when she did, but honestly, I think it was the best move for her because I don't think that she was in the right frame of mind to be there.
Totally. I mean, have you kind of been keeping up with her whole Twitter thing? And I mean, her calling in to watch What Happens Live and
the
look on Andy, your Captain Lee and Ross's face was truly priceless. Like,
well,
you can't pay for
priceless.
That.
What she did was priceless.
I mean, after the show wrapped, were you guys all looking at each other like, what the fuck just happened?
I was looking at them like that when it happened. I mean, way to go, Caroline, because, like, that's ballsy. And I'm ballsy, so, yeah, it was really funny. But, no, I've seen the Twitter rants that she's had, and honestly, I don't think she's doing herself any favors. But she's been very supportive of me, so I'm trying, you know, to not speak about her. Because, like, with Twitter and all that, especially, like, in writing, and simply because, you know, she's not doing herself any favors. You know, she has a lot to say about some of the crew members, and some of it's really, really extreme. And I think she's just digging herself a hole, and I don't know that it's one that, you know, with her state of mind, I don't think it's something that she is fully capable of handling.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, I think the way that, obviously, her duration on the show, you know, sometimes, you know, I felt for her, and sometimes I kind of was on Kate's side where I'm thinking, you know, you are complaining a lot. You know, you are the third stew, which means you do laundry. Like, I don't go on boats, and I know that. That's just kind of a part of the job. So it kind of felt like there was always an excuse at an opportune moment, whether it's like you know, turn down after the charter guests leave. And every time she's sick and can't help once, you know, it's a lot of work for a small crew.
That to me is so baffling. So like, I don't, you know, what do you stand to gain from, you know, acting like you can't do the job that you're there to do? You know, I don't know what she was thinking, but like, and I don't know how much pain she was in. I honestly like didn't see a huge deal with the foot, but I didn't pay too much attention to it. So like, I mean, like Josiah said, you know, we've all been injured and we still have a job to do. We carry on. I mean, like, that's like shit. I'd feel embarrassed for myself if that was me, because look at Ashton. I mean, he literally, you know,
he
carried on his job. So,
yeah, maybe a little bit more of a severe foot problem.
Yeah, a little bit more. yeah, I do think she was a little bit dramatic about it, but I, you know, again, she is someone that handles things in a different manner.
I mean, I think the way that Josiah and Kate treated her with the dubstep music, I thought that was so fucking rude. And I don't know. I thought, like, you know, she'll get the hell out. She'll get out of eventually. But to blast that music and she's crying in there. And, you know, I thought it was really honorable of Ross to, like, turn the music down, knock on her door and be like, what's up? Like,
yeah. Well, I'll say this about Ross. Ross is a placator. And I mean that in both a good way and a bad way. he doesn't want there to be turmoil, but you also can't placate everybody.
Yeah.
I do think it was very, very much a good move on his part to go in there and try to work with her, but she doesn't even receive that very well. And for me, when he tries to placate like me, and then I see him on commentary, you know, going back and saying something else, it's just like, you can't do that. You can't play both sides of the fence. And what I'll say about Kate and Josiah, I mean, I've seen previous, you know, seasons of Below Deck, and Kate is very good at being a bitch. And I don't think that I think she was as calm as she's ever been in this particular season. And especially in dealing with someone that was probably very frustrating, like Caroline. And so she was probably at her wit's end. And, you know, that, like, who does give a 2-day notice and then say, oh, never mind, I'm not going to do it, and then locks herself in the room? And what if I was trying to get in the room? Like, that's my room. Right. So, like, I had no idea that stuff was going on. I do think it's a little harsh, but also I do agree with both sides here. Like, Caroline was feeling bullied, and Kate and Josiah were just reacting to, like, being fed up.
So I think you and Kate should kind of create like a super group. I feel like the two of you together could really be unstoppable, like an all female version of Below Deck with like Captain Sandy Kate from Below Deck Met.
Yeah, you don't think Kate or I would kill one or the other?
I mean, hey, it would be great TV.
Kate is definitely a boss bitch, you know, and she's got tenure, and she also knows what she's doing. And I do think she is condescending at times, but, you know, I mean, we all have flaws. Like, they're not portraying us in any light that we aren't already. You know, I certainly am mouthy. It's just they highlight the mouthiness, you know. They highlighted Caroline's melodramatic, you know, behavior. And they highlighted the fact that Chandler was 100% a douche all the time.
So how did you feel about the new third stew, Laura, who came in? She kind of obviously got the attention of all of the men, which, by the way, that one scene, and you guys, I'll post a GIF on the Bravo Happy Hour Instagram account, where Ashton is just, like, dancing on the beach with his abs for her. Like, it was, like, the saddest / cutest thing I've ever seen.
I think Laura, so, like, I still keep in touch with everybody for the most part. And I think Laura, you know, she had a way she wanted to present herself on the boat, but everybody probably had a way they wanted to be presented. And then that doesn't work out. She did strike me as ditzy to begin with, because there's a comment she makes to Kate and Josiah and myself at that beach day that we all had off. And it was so funny to me. Like, she's from Vancouver or something like that in Canada. Oh, no, Toronto. And she asked Kate where Kate's from. And Kate, of course, said, like, Melbourne. And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm kind of near there. And where? So Toronto. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, is there a Toronto, Florida I don't know about? It didn't help her case, like, you know, Adrian refers to her as, like, a valley girl, and it I see her differently.
I know, a valley girl from Toronto.
Yeah, right? So, I don't know. I think, Laura, I definitely, you know, I'm not aware of a lot of things that, you know, don't involve us on the boat. So seeing how she reacted to Kate and Josiah, I feel two ways about it. And I think that, you know, yeah, she does come in aggressive and, like, very opinionated about what's going on. But also, I commend her for pointing out, like, it did look like a shitty job was done on some of the interior stuff that they were taking her to. And I don't know if that's because they didn't yet clean that stuff or what was going on, but, you know, I think she was pointing out a truth and they weren't liking it.
I mean, I kind of love that. You know, I think any time, especially with the stew specifically, I mean, it was actually same with the deck crew. If you come in and you're like, oh, well, I was the chief stew on my last yacht, but I'm being third stew on this one. Like, you know that that's an automatic tension between chief stew and, you know, third stew. So the moment that happened and she kind of came in with that, not cockiness, but just telling the truth about her past, you know, Kate's face was just like, oh, hell no.
Which is probably exactly what they all thought of me when I was like, well, I'm a boat captain. Like, I've been, you know, I've got my certifications. I got this, I got that, you know, and it wasn't because I was trying to brag and be like, I never once was like, on my boat, we do it this way. You know, that's not how I came across. I was asked what I did. And then when there was like a level of safety that was a concern of mine, like legitimate, that's where I reiterate the fact, like, I am a captain. I fucking understand, you know, regulations and safety as it concerns guests and crew. And it was like, she was making it known that she had the experience, but then later we see that, you know, she doesn't hold up that experience.
Yeah, it so doesn't much. Show.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I appreciate both of, you know, her pointing it out to them and their reaction to it. So
totally. Well, I guess that kind of leaves us just kind of to touch up on Adrian. So obviously he's the chef on the boat. You guys had that moment in the van that led to you spitting on the van, which I will say,
it's like, so classless.
You said it, not me.
It's trashy. Like, trust me, my mom probably like wanted to slap me when she saw that.
Oh my God.
He hates what I spit. And let me just tell you, I have no idea why I would do that because I spit, yes, but when people spit at somebody, I think that is so disgusting. And I did that. And I think it was probably because I was so literally disgusted by them. I was pissed off. And it's, you know, I mean.
Yeah, it was so funny.
Well, we were all drinking. So, of course, like, my emotion's going to be a little bit more enhanced. But earlier that night, another thing that wasn't shown is we're at the dinner table. And, you know. I mean, I know there's a time and place for everything, and I know, like, whatever, like, be a lady or whatever, but I burp, too. So, like, at the dinner table, I, like, leaned over my shoulder and gave a little burp, and Adrian happened to be sitting, like, 3 feet from me, literally 3 feet from me, which is not right on me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, at that time when I did that, he goes, oh, you burped in my face. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, no, I didn't. I was like, I was polite enough to even like go over my shoulder, so you're welcome.
I'm genuinely surprised they didn't show that.
I know, but I'm sure like I've done it again, so it might come up. But no, so like that night he was very upset with me because of that. Like, he literally was like, you burped in my face. And and he over-exaggerated on Twitter. He's like, oh, we sat there for 15 minutes. Like, no, the fuck we didn't. You know, I was just, like, getting my ass out of the van and dealing with both, like, everybody, like, coming at me. So I was like, don't even, you know. I don't know. Don't poke the bear, because I'm a bear.
Right. How was his food, though, on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say he's an amazing chef. So I'd rate him highly, like 10. I didn't get to taste everything because I wasn't, you know, like a little puppy dog hanging out in the kitchen for scraps.
I would be that person, but.
Yeah, no, I really barely ever went into the galley whatsoever. I did see all the dishes, you know, just from like being on the table, and they looked amazing. I have a culinary background with an ex I used to date. So, you know, I know like high end, he was there, you know what I mean? And so I think he's an amazing chef.
So who are your favorite charter guests? I mean, obviously right now the season's not over, but obviously I'm very interested in hanging out with Master Peterson and Lady Tiernan.
They were amazing. They are. I'm actually in touch with a couple of them from that charter.
Oh, wow.
I love them all. Like, I think that they were, I didn't even realize like all the shit that was going down besides just where the deck fuck ups were. But they were incredibly gracious and kind and just super sweet. And the kids really were so well behaved. And I think that they were, you know, for everything that happened on their charter, they were very forgiving, you know, and they presented themselves very well. They are one of my favorite guests. I have two favorite guests. And that charter was one. And then you'll see one coming up that was another group that I absolutely love. I'm excited for that.
Yay! Charter. I can't wait for more episodes. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. You were so honest. And it was just great. Where can people find you on social media? Obviously, they can watch you on Below Deck.
Yeah. So, I mean, I basically only have Instagram and Twitter, and Twitter is really where I address any of the show stuff, and Instagram's where I still keep it personal. I do promote a lot of the Below Deck stuff on my personal Instagram, but it is a personal page. So my Instagram handle is The Life of Riley, which is kind of a play on words. Like, they had the old TV show, The Life of Riley, spelled differently. And it's basically,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it's actually really kind of funny because I grew up knowing that because of my name, of course. And it's about this guy who just literally like embraces life and everything that, you know, is kind of thrown his way. And he kind of like just lives how he wants to live. And that's where that expression comes, like living the life of Riley, like doesn't really like things kind of fall into his lap. And like, it's an amazing lifestyle. So I've had a lot of great opportunities in my past and currently in my present. So yeah, I thought it was great. It's a great handle. So yeah, Instagram is The Life of Riley, and then Twitter is just my name, I think.
I'll tag everything on my page, so no worries. So thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for listening to Bravo Happy Hour.
Thanks so much for listening to Bravo Happy Hour. If you love the show, be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, be sure to follow Bravo Happy Hour on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Be sure to tune in next Monday for more of your favorite Bravo-related news.